Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Word Balloon. Before we get started, a couple show notes. Again, it's Word Balloon's 9th anniversary coming up, May 10th, 5/10/5 was when I started Word Balloon back in 2005. Hard to believe it's going to be 9 years. But to celebrate, I threw it out there. Would people like to hear me interviewed for a change? I'm going to choose somebody, and I'll let you know the special guest that will be doing the interview. People said yes. So if you want to submit your questions, you can do it via email, john@wordballoon.com. You can do it at my Facebook page, or you can also do it on Twitter. And every now and then I'll put out the call through social media to, alert you guys to write questions as well. But I figure we should use the podcast for that. Obviously, that's direct communication to you. So feel free to submit any questions, and we will go over the best ones and have an interview for you for the 9th anniversary episode of Word Balloon. Also, it's convention season, and I'm certainly getting ready and organizing for San Diego, New York, and certainly C2E2 coming up in a couple weeks here in Chicago. I'll also be at CincyCon. Tony Moore and Kara Moore's excellent show, Cincy Comic Con. It was a lot of fun last year, and really looking forward to it again in September. If you can help me out this year, and if you haven't done it recently, I ask that you make a donation at wordballoon.com to the League of Word Balloon listeners. Even $5, pretty much the price of a monthly comic these days, would be greatly appreciated if you enjoy the conversation that you hear on Word Balloon. I think the presentation here is unique. You get good insight from the creative process, what a lot of creative people are thinking about today in the world of comics, and happy to bring that to you weekly. So if you enjoy what you hear, anything you can spare would be terrific. Go to the website, wordballoon.com. You'll see Franco's excellent drawing of the League of Word Balloon listeners logo, and there's a PayPal Dropbox right there. So I appreciate the support. I appreciate the interest that you all have in Word Balloon. Thank you to those of you who have recently donated, and I always thank you for your listenership and your attention. On with the show. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. John Suntress here, a little bit under the weather, but could not wait to get you this news exclusive that we got yesterday from Marvel. They had another telephone press conference, this time with writer Dan Slott, editor Nick Lowe, announcing the new Spider-Man event coming in November of 2014, Spider-Verse. You might have seen some of the images already. Gabriel Del Auto did an amazing painted cover with various Spider-Men from the various multiple universes, but it's a great story. Peter Parker is front and center, the general of this army of Spider-Men facing an amazing threat. And we're going to see a lot of different iterations of Spider-Men stemming from some what-if stories. Peter Porker, Spider-Ham is in there. Of course, Miles Morales is going to be in there. Jessica Drew is in there. And it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic story. I know Dan is incredibly excited about it. You can hear it in his voice and Nick Lowe's voice as well in this very entertaining Marvel press conference. And thought that this was a big enough event, kind of as previous events go, both in Marvel, DC, you name it, where it almost needed its own Word Balloon. So this will give you an opportunity to use this episode of Word Balloon as your Zapruder film to go backwards and forwards and kind of figure out the various clues that Dan and Nick leave us in terms of where this story is going to go and its impact on Spider-Man, not just for the event, but beyond. There are also going to be a lot of miniseries and one-shots tied in as well that they hint at. The word is we'll get more details on those in the weeks ahead at events like C2E2 coming up. So it should be very interesting. It's All Things Spider-Man with Dan Slott and Nick Lowe on today's Word Balloon. And it's all brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Now, that's the place to go to get great value on your monthly orders, especially if you're in a situation where you're not near a local comic book store. That's where DCBS can come in and really take care of you. Great savings on a lot of wonderful books. For instance, Superman Doomed, this super event that's coming up, the first issue of that is 50% off. It's just $2.49. There's a new creator-owned book called Trees. Check that out, 40% off, just $1.79. You can get Star Wars Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, number one, 50% off, just $1.75. And our pals Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are doing a new book called Southern Bastards from Image. It's coming out in June. And DCB Service has an exclusive cover by James Heron. They're very excited about the book. Can't blame them with that kind of creative team. But the great thing is they're offering this variant cover at cover price, $3.99, which is awesome. So you can get Southern Bastards number one from DCB Service exclusively for $3.99. That's the place to go for your monthly pre-order needs, discountcomicbookservice.com. Without further ado, let's go to Chris DeLandro, who is leading the Marvel press conference, and you'll hear the representatives of the various comic book blogs and myself asking questions. We got to ask three questions, which is a big deal. Sometimes we only get to ask one, mostly two. So it was very interesting, and speculation was high as we got the details for Spider-Verse coming in November of 2014. Chris DeLandro, Dan Slott, and Nick Lowe, now on Word Balloon.
All right, so let's just dive right in, guys. So Superior Spider-Man is about to reach its epic conclusion in just a few weeks. Issue 30 is out on Wednesday, with 31 following.
I can't wait for issue 30 to come out. It's so good!
Everyone's going to be talking come Wednesday, I'm sure. But Dan is already planning to put Spider-Man through yet another ringer, regardless of who is under the mask. So we are very happy to announce that this November, Dan and blockbuster artist Olivier Coipel are bringing...
We've announced it! Oh, my God!
he screamed that we announced it.
Yep, it's true.
Are bringing every Spider-Man from every universe together for the first time in Spider-Verse, an epic...
Spider-Verse!
Kicking off.
Must be said like that by everyone.
Spider!
Yes.
Kicking off this November in Amazing Spider-Man number 9 and a bunch of other great titles, which we are going to be sworn to secrecy. But if you cannot wait until November, we are also happy to announce that Dan Slott and Giuseppe Camuncoli, our blockbuster artist on Goblin Nation, will have a 5-page backup in the Free Comic Book Day Guardians of the Galaxy issue. So you will get your first taste of Spider-Verse in just over a month. So as you could tell by the yelling, both Dan Slott and Nick Lowe are here with me today to talk about Spider-Verse. So, Dan, Nick, what's Spider-Verse all about? It sounds like it's huge, epic, massive in size and scope, and it is not every day you get to see an army of Spider-Men together.
This is every Spider-Man ever teaming up or fighting each other. Some won't get along. And it's a Spider-Man story on a scale we have never seen before. Epic in its scope.
Yep. This story, which I think we all now know is called Spider-Verse, dwarfs every other Spider-Man story ever. It was one of the first things I'd heard about it at retreats and just gasped, mouth open, drool flowing from my mouth as it hit the table, as I imagined what would happen. Coming into the Spidey office, one of the first things I got to read was the first draft of the first script of Spider-Verse, which Olivier Coipel is chained to a table drawing as we speak. You can tell we're serious about it because, you know, he's already working on it. And it is incredible. It's huge. It's just huge and mind-boggling.
The thing is that every Spider-Man ever wasn't enough. We're bringing in even more. New ones you've never seen before. It's going to be crazy.
We're going to talk about all of the different Spider-Men in just a second, but I wanted to talk about villain or villains. You know, if your threat is going to require every Spider-Man ever, that's got to mean there's some pretty huge bad guys at work. So who are all these Spider-Men teaming up against? Or Dan alluded to the fact that some of them are not getting along, so maybe we're going to have some spider fights?
We will definitely have spider fights. And we... But something to keep in mind, who the villain is it's someone we haven't seen in Spider titles for a while. But whenever they show up, you're guaranteed a slobber knocker of epic proportions. Mm-hmm. You will know by the Free Comic Book Day which character is showing up. And there's something about that character that you don't know yet, which will expand on who they are and what they do and what they're a larger part of that could threaten the existence of all... It will threaten the existence of all Spider-Men everywhere.
Dan, I think we need to just break free of the bonds, and just I think we should go ahead and say who it is.
Oh, damn it! Okay, you win. Moreland.
Yep.
Moreland will be back.
Yeah.
And we're gonna find out that he's part of an even bigger thing.
Yep.
Nick, how much do we want to give away?
I think we hold the rest of that back, but I think we start teasing it. Like we'll just say this initial antagonist of this story. But he is Moreland is one of my favorite Spidey villains. Certainly my favorite of a lot of the recently created Spidey. I mean, when I say recent, it's the last 15 years at this point. But Moreland, one of the things I always love about Moreland, I think there's only really been two stories with him in Spidey, maybe three, but he always kicks the crap out of Spider-Man. And Spider-Man, I feel like, is never closer to defeat than when he's facing Moreland. And this is the biggest Moreland story you've ever seen, and this amps him up in ways you've never, ever seen before. We always talk about Spider-Man's rogues gallery, and it's always when you try to rank the best villains, before this story, I would have put Moreland in the top 10, which is, even that is pretty staggering. After this story, I think he's a top 3, even maybe top 2 Spider-Man villain, knowing what Dan and Olivier have planned for this. It's just nuts.
So Dan, now that Moreland's out of the bag, and we've said that Spider-Verse is going to be kicking off in Amazing Spider-Man in November, and that's still a ways away, but we are going to get our first taste on Free Comic Book Day. Is there anything that either of you can tell us about the sort of lead-in story we're going to see on Free Comic Book Day?
There has been a prophecy in the pages of Amazing and Superior that every Spider she'll die.
Yep.
That's
just arachnophobia, too. Like, we haven't been pointing towards that. Right?
This will carry on probably even to actual spiders. Nothing is safe.
We don't want to give too much detail away because we want the millions of people who go to comic book shops on Free Comic Book Day to have some surprises in front of them. But we will say, there is a spider character in there that will give you a taste of what Spider-Verse has to hold for you. And you may never be the same. You may never.
So Nick, let me ask you then. From an editorial standpoint, you've done gigantic universe-spanning events. The X-Men, you were just wrapping up Battle of the Atom before moving over to the Spidey office.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it like to do that on a Spider-Man scale?
Well, just when I thought that the X-Men had more characters than anybody else, I come to this Spider-Man office, and I get hit with the outline for what Spider-Verse is, and there are so many other Spider characters. But you'd think it would worry me that there are more Spider characters in this than there were X-Men in Battle of the Atom, and there were a ton of X-Men in Battle of the Atom. But the thing that gave me no worries was reading something like Spider Island or Goblin Nation, and knowing that I've got a writer on this book who can handle huge, complex casts and handle them in really emotional, character-driven, and true ways to who these characters are that are clear. I mean, George Martin, eat your heart out, because Slot.
Oh, don't go there.
Yep.
That George R. Martin thing, that sounds familiar with. He doesn't like characters live a lot, does he?
Yeah.
He certainly doesn't.
Uh-oh.
Certainly doesn't. You're in trouble when you get to Spider-Verse issue 3 and when you get to the wedding. It's going to be...
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, man. Spider-Man can't catch a break when it comes to weddings, can he?
He's never been married. What are you talking about?
What? Huh?
Symbol crash. I know Nick had mentioned to me earlier today that they're tracking a spreadsheet of all the different Spider-Men, and we had sent around a jaw-dropping Gabrielle Delodo piece for Spider-Verse that is going to turn into a bunch of variant covers. And there's plenty of familiar Spider characters on that and some not-so-familiar Spider characters on that. Can you guys tell us a little bit about who we can expect to see and if you have any particular Spider-Man you're very excited to include?
Wow. Well, I see a lot of guys from Mangaverse Spider-Man, the bullet point Spider-Man. I even see a certain Miles from the Ultimate Universe is going to be there.
Yep.
There's Spider-Man from What If stories, from some of your favorites. Spider-Man 1602. There's Spider-Ham! You're going to see Spider-Ham.
Yep. And there's a whole cover that we aren't showing yet. There's a whole sixth cover. Those are going to be six covers that poster is made up of. And there's a whole sixth cover that we aren't showing because the spider characters on that are so integral to the story and so will shock and appall so many of you that we need to hold some stuff because we still got many months until we get here. But one of the things...
Nick. Do I see the MC2 Spider Girl on that cover?
You're damn right you do, Dan.
Oh, my God!
Yep. It's true. But I think one of the reasons why I was so gung-ho about talking to you guys about this now is that we're sending Superior Spider-Man 31 to the printer today, or we've sent it, but we didn't want you guys to think we were going to sit on our laurels with Amazing Spider-Man number 1 coming out. They'd be like, we've gotten the big, crazy stories out of the way. When you guys get a full, between Amazing 1 through 5, with the craziness you got in store there, with, you know, Electro coming back and Black Cat coming back, between Amazing Spider-Man 1.1 kicking off Learning to Crawl with secrets from Spider-Man's past that will end up coming to bite his present back, between, we've got an Original Sin thing coming up, guys, that I wish I could talk about because it's the best thing, best story. And then Spider-Verse, like, we've packed 4 years of Spider-Man publishing into this 1 year of Spider-Man publishing. And if you thought Superior Spider-Man was big, oh, my God.
Every arc, every story this year is a bullet in the gun. The big question of Spider-Man isn't, you know, oh, my God, what happens, you know, isn't this year. To me, the biggest fear of Spider-Man is, what the heck can we do left in 2015?
Yeah.
2015 scares the hell out of me because we have put so much stuff in 2014. It's so big. It's so over the top.
I had an idea for our event. Vacation.
Done.
Vacation. Spidey goes to Bermuda where did Bloomberg always go? What's the one off the coast?
Just a web hammock.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
We'll set up in the outback like X-Men, you know how it is.
True.
So before I open it up to press questions, is it safe to say that if readers want to get a taste of Spider-Verse, they should hop on with Amazing Spider-Man number 1 in April?
Oh,
is that
absolutely.
Fair?
Absolutely. Within the first two pages, you will meet someone who is integral.
Your face will get destroyed in the first two pages of Amazing Spider-Man number 1.
All right, well.
That's a promise.
With that, I don't have anything else, so I think it's time we should open it up to some press questions. Marvel.com.
Hey, guys. So when you say every Spider-Man ever, I'm curious, does that include some characters that may be currently dead, such as Ultimate Peter Parker?
There are characters, because this is multiple universes. You might find out that a character that is dead in our universe is Hale and Hardy in some other universe.
And the same goes for all other universes.
But once Spider-Verse starts, we can't vouch the safety of any of them.
True.
George R. R. Martin in the flesh.
He should be writing.
Cool.
Never get
yeah. If you're on the
finish, expect it in 2020. CBR.
Hey guys, this is exciting stuff. I'm just curious as to what sort of the process of putting together the list of all the Spider-Mans that would be in the story was like, since it seems like there are some rather obscure ones. Obviously, Dan, you're a huge Spider-Man fan, but were there some in here that even you had forgotten about or maybe didn't know about?
There are some in here that I am jaw on the floor, just surprised that we will get to use. Just the hoops that you'd think we'd have to jump through. and you go, really, really, that Spider-Man is going to be in there too. Mind blown.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan, continue.
No. But as little as I can give away, I'm happy.
Crave Online.
Just that line right there makes me think the hoops you have to jump through. Does that include Amalgam Universe Spider-Boy?
Oh, yeah. DC's going to let us do that, I'm sure.
You're just going to have to wait and see, Crave. It's hard to say.
Wait, let me call my DC contacts right now.
Fair enough.
All right.
Futurama. In the big banner image, like some of the ones that really excite me is seeing the Spider-Man from the Spider-Man fairy tales thing. Like even if you can't talk about their use in the story, can Dan or Nick both talk about the decision to include those in there? Given how they each only appeared once, but they had really interesting designs and backstories.
We didn't want to sell anything short. If there's a Spider-Man out there, we want him in this. No matter what universe, what different take, you don't want to hold back on any single guy we can put in this story. So, even stuff like the fairy tale stories or the Mangaverse or anything that's a possible, hey, look, here's a Spider-Man. Someone out there read that story, somewhere out there loves that story. So when we launch our all-out war, and they're, good luck having staying happy.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone's got to bite it, man. People got to go down.
Huh?
Comic Speed.
This is, I think, the first time you've worked with Olivier Coipel. What's it been like to get to have him do a bit of Spider-Man? What's it been like working with him on the project?
It's just fantastic. He's turned in some covers that are just gorgeous. We're just starting up now. It was kind of fun because I got to Skype back and forth with him and walk him through the project and tell him all the stuff to see if it was something he'd be interested in. And how can you not be interested when someone takes the greatest fictional character of all time, opens up the toy box and dumps all the toys into your play area? Because that's what this is. This is grabbing the Spider-Man toy chest, flinging it open, and just hurling everything out of the box.
And one of the things about Olivier, too, is that when he signed on to the project, the thing that kind of clinched it for him is that he first and foremost has a love for characters. And he wanted to make sure there was enough Peter Parker, meat on this bone. That's what I think really clinched it for him to come on. It was that this is meaningful to Peter as well. It's not just a crazy big battle with tons of Spider-Men. There's real character beats and moments and a real arc to this for Peter and for these other Spider-Men as well. And I think you're going to see that come alive on his pages.
If you can think of any, classic war movie or war story that's going on, anything from Bridge Over the River Kwai to All Quiet on the Western Front to Red Badge of Courage, anything that's a war, this is Spider-Man and all these Spider-Men going to war. And there's going to be epic human moments in this.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, can you follow up about that just a little bit, just about sort of the Peter of it all? I know Peter will not have been back very long, and already he's being thrust into, what you call a war. So what's that sort of like for him, freshly returned?
For Peter, you have to remember, this isn't just him coming back. Because Peter, Peter died once in the other. Moreland has killed Peter Parker before. If you're Peter Parker and you just came back and suddenly, I'm alive again and I'm going to stop and smell the roses and isn't everything great, to suddenly face this epic threat where it's, here's someone who has taken your life before.
Yeah.
There's a real danger there. You're very aware of what a precious gift your mortality is. And here's someone who's killed you, flat out, very easily. And also, there's also more to it than that. Like, what is Peter Parker's role in this war?
Okay. Good tease. Word balloon.
Beyond all the different Spider-Men that we're going to see from other universes, might we also see the supporting cast from other universes as well? Are we going to see different Aunt Mays and Uncle Bens and Gwen Stacy's and Mary Jane's and such?
And Jonas.
And Jonas?
Yes. Spider-Man's world is New York. And when we go to other dimensions, we're going to other New Yorks. I don't want to see a Spider-Man story where he's off in space with a lightsaber riding a spaceship. So when we go to other, and this is a story that has a fantasy element to it, which is going to other dimensions, going to other worlds. But what those other worlds are there other Manhattans through different lenses that all have unique flavors, and with them are going to come the cast members, too. We will see them in other worlds. You know, what is the Jonah of that world? What is the Aunt May of that world? What is the Flash Thompson of that world?
Comic Vine.
How will this coincide with the regular Amazing Spider-Man? Is there going to be, like, any distinction, like, read this issue first before you read that one?
Yes, this Nick? Is going to – this runs – starting in just like the great Spuddy events of the past few years, this runs directly in Amazing Spider-Man, and there will be ancillary tie-ins that we'll start announcing as we get a little closer to the date. But this will run, you know, starting in Amazing Spider-Man number 9, and those issues, all these Spider-Verse things, the you'll follow your main story in there, just like you did on Spider Island, and so on. But the big story is directly in Amazing Spider-Man, keeping it the most exciting and necessary book in comics.
And I believe we'll be announcing some of those ancillary titles as early as C2E2, so stay tuned for some of those announcements coming up. Nerdist, you're up.
The Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon was really loved by fans and ended kind of unceremoniously. I was wondering if there's any chance we might see that Peter show up.
Spectacular is partially owned by Sony. So I don't think we can see that one, but I think we can confirm you will see the Spider-Man of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Marvel.com.
Hey, Dan, you kind of touched on this a little before when you were saying how, you know, there are all these different New Yorks that we'll be visiting, but you also described it as a war. So I was sort of curious about what the main battlefield for this is going to be, where sort of they all assemble. Will it be in our New York or some amalgam New York, not DC Marvel amalgam, just, you know, regular
that
amalgam?
That would be telling. We're pimping. We're promoting. I'm going to get a talking to now. We're promoting a book that's coming out in November. So I want to keep some cards close to the vest.
TBR.
Hey, Dan, I'm wondering about sort of the conception of the story and how far back you've had in mind, because it seems like such a cool idea. I know that you are a long-term planner. I was wondering sort of what the original impetus of this was and how long it's been something you've been hoping you can get to.
I worked on I wrote the story and script for Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions video game. And while I was working on it, I was thinking, oh, man, why can't we do this but bigger? Because that was a game where you got to have four Spider-Man of four universes. And I was thinking, what if we did it with every universe? What could be the threat? What could be the villain? What could be the story? You know, what would be so awesome that it would require all the Spider-Men? So as far back as that.
Yeah.
Where the germ was.
I mean, I only just came into the Spider-Man office, but I've been actually hearing about this story for years. We've been talking about it at retreats and such. Because it's the kind of huge story that that you need to get everyone's attention for, and it's been exciting to hear about and see it grow and change And but so this is something that Dan has been working and laying seeds for several years, everybody. Several years.
Crave Online.
I'm curious, in recent letters pages, I believe before Stephen took off, there were rumors that they even kind of outright said that they're planning a Spider-Man 2099 book in the near future. Would this be a launching pad for that?
I would just say there's a week of a lot of announcements. There's a week of a lot of exciting, crazy announcements. If you don't hear something this week or very, very soon about the character that I will not name in this answer, I should be tarred and feathered.
Shock.
Spider-Ham!
You will believe a pig can oink.
Yes.
Newsarama.
Ben, you mentioned that we might see some Spider-Men that readers know of as either dead or gone from basically appear from other alternate universes and be alive. Could we perhaps see the return of Superior Spider-Man here? Like, not saying he's gone in comics, but since this is in November, could Spidey-Ock be a part of this somehow?
That's a very good question.
We can't comment on that question, certainly not until you've read Superior Spider-Man 30 on Wednesday or 31 on
31. You
know, 3 weeks from now. You certainly need to read those, and those will definitely color what your expectations for Ock Spidey.
Okay.
Comic Speed.
You said that Spider-Man's got such a great rogues gallery. There's tons of them out there. Why did you pick Norlan? What was it about him that you wanted to really get into the depths with? What about him were you interested in tackling and bringing into the into this new story?
There's so many questions about Norlan that haven't been answered yet. Every Norlan story has ended with his death, and yet, bam, there he is again. And every time he is there again, he is this unstoppable force. It really takes, you know, the most desperate, flailing measures to take down. You can have a character like Doc Ock, and we see him get beaten a million times over 50 years. Moreland's had he's got a really good record right now. If you look at Moreland, when he shows up, you know, the reader's spider sense goes off. Moreland means business. There's something very scary about that.
I think in his home language, Moreland literally means business.
Yes. Serious, serious business.
John, word balloon.
One quick question and one
the
longer question.
Stands for no hope.
Because I'm not sure you're going to be able to answer one of these questions, given that you mentioned that the Ultimate Spider-Man, animated Spider-Man, will be in there. Might we see other non-comic Spider-Man, Broadway Spider-Man, Bashki 67 Spider-Man? And then the other question is, this seems, especially based on the Del Otto painting, this is a great opportunity for a lot of toys. And I don't know if you guys, I'm sure there are plans for a ton of action figures with all the iterations of Spider-Man, given this story as well.
Yeah, that's something that like, as far as merchandising, that'll be, you know, if and when there'll be that comes out, there'll be a big announcement to go along with that.
I don't know about the merch, but I can guarantee you, especially with a couple of our new characters, that you will see them haunt Comic Cons for years to come as cosplay. There are some characters here where I'm just like, oh my God, every girl is going to dress up as that character. You'll have multiple ones of them walking around.
And the other Spider-Man from other media, Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man, Jazz Hands Broadway Spider-Man, you know.
He never does Jazz Hands. He never does.
Big disappointment, too, right?
I know. That should be his enemy. He should fight Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands. Little does anyone realize, but Jasmine Hands is secretly Jazz Hands. I can tell you one of the ones where people pulled me over and said, stop, no, do not create that new Spider-Man. The one that will not be appearing, because people have actually, every now and then you want to hear that when someone's being, when creating stuff, sometimes they need to hear no. I suggested, what if there's a world like Cars, and from that world, the Spider-Mobile is alive and can talk to you like Speed Buggy, and he joins in. And they're like, no, no, no talking Spider-Mobile. Now, but no, it'd be awesome, because he has a secret identity, so no one knows he's Spider-Mobile. And they're like, what? And I'm like, he's secretly Peter Parked Car.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's when everyone said, no! And people reminded me of Olivier's, you know, firm belief that we must show heart and and human story. It's not going to be a big WWF wrestling match. It's going to be this epic tale of multiple Spider-Man across dimensions working together or fighting each other.
Yep. Ernest.
Yeah, there's been like three different characters who have been Spider-Woman. Will any of them be involved in this, or is this like a testosterone fest?
You are going to see 616 Spider characters along for the, you know, who will be enmeshed in this giant spider war as well.
Yep, one of them and is Spider-Woman.
Jessica Drew.
Yep.
Will be in this. And we've already announced just a little earlier, you will see MC2 Spider-Girl.
And those are just the tip of the iceberg. There are
the Spider-Bird.
All genders.
Spider-Bird!
Spider-Verse!
The tip of the iceberg! You will see all genders, races, and whatever other variations there could be represented in Spider-Verse.
Nick, do I see Spider-Monkey on that cover?
You're damn right you do, Dan.
Spider-Monkey!
Spider-Verse! I think it's fair to say probably that not it wasn't always a male Peter Parker in every universe, correct?
Of course.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for some of that. IGN, you're up.
Hey guys, sounds super exciting. I have a question about Miles Morales and Peter Parker are going to meet again. Is this in any way a sequel to Spider-Man by Brian Michael Bendis? And if not, can you is there any word on how this will affect maybe that sequel happening?
Maybe I should speak to this one. There's no way the Spider-Verse is a sequel. Truly, I mean, we love Spider-Man, and they'll certainly, you know, they remember meeting each other, for sure. But whether or not another Spider-Man project comes along, if anything, this would help that along. But you shouldn't consider this a sequel. That would probably be up to Brian and whoever he ends up working with, depending if they ever do that project, if they ever deem that necessary or want to, and if we can ever make that sort of thing happen. But, I mean, Spider-Man certainly happened for both Peter and Miles.
One of the
sure.
fun things you're going to see happen in Spider-Verse is it's not just always going to be this throng of Spider-Men leaping headlong into a problem like a giant group shot. You're going to see fun pairings of different Spider-Men from different worlds working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing a mission or doing this incredible, you know, if you can imagine any kind of, you know, war movie where you can have these two guys behind enemy lines or, you know, this small team infiltrating a base or doing something else. You're going to get, you know, mixes of Spider-Man you wouldn't think of and how they work together.
True.
Marvel.com.
I was curious, you know, you've been talking about how this is still a very human, emotional story at the root of it. In that case,
I mean,
will...
We've all been there. Multiple variations show up at a party, and then what do you do?
I'm curious if that means that we'll be seeing any involvement from Spidey's regular supporting cast.
You're going to have to wait till November.
Yep.
Too spoiler to give away.
It's really hard to talk about this stuff.
Sure.
Because we've got, like, an epic, you know, Electro, and we've announced Black Cat, and there's There's some things happening because of Original Sin. There's going to be a lot of developments in the first five-issue arc of Spidey. And there's also going to be things that happen in Learning to Crawl that will come back and affect the present. There's a lot of road before we get to Spider-Verse, and big things are going to happen. So it's kind of hard to talk about Spider-Verse in November without telling you, you know, what things get exploded or put back together or, you know, emotionally. You'll have to wait and see.
It's true.
TBR.
I think this is the first time in Marvel Press Call history that we've gotten three rounds of questions, so thank you for that, guys. And obviously there seems to be a lot going on here, a lot of characters, a lot of story. How big of a story is this? How long is this going to be unfolding for?
Nick?
The main story unfolds over six issues of Amazing Spider-Man. And then to see the full extent, you're going to have to wait and see for our full announcements of all of the ancillary tie-ins and all that kind of stuff. We've got, we'll have some things launching with this, like a new series that'll launch with this. We'll have some mini-series that run alongside of it. To some extent, it'll be modeled after some previous Spider events, but bigger because, damn it, the story demands it. It's such a huge story, and there's so many moving parts to give the reader the full experience. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of paper. So,
Spider Island was an island. This is a Spider-Verse. There's going to be a lot of things, much like with Spider-Verse, where you know if you, how you dip your how you dip your toe in the water, how you want to read the main story, how you want to. There's going to be a lot of options for readers to flesh it out, or to go bare bones, or to read all these interesting things going on.
Crave Online.
It's just from judging by what you've said so far. If you know Peter's coming up against Moreland and remembers dying, and he also remembers meeting Miles Morales. Those are two of the 31 memories he has left. Or will his memory still be Swiss cheese by this point?
I think the important thing to know is that the butler did it. Rosebud was a sled. And the crying James, that was a chick. If you keep all that in mind, forget all the other comics that are. We can't tell you everything ahead of time. Come on. Come on.
Newsarama.
Dan, at one point in an earlier interview, you said a then upcoming story was something that you originally wanted to do with Superior Spider-Man, but I think you said some of the higher-ups said it needed to be a Peter Parker story, and you're going to hold off on it. Is this that story that you originally wanted to do with Spidey Up?
This is that story.
Can you talk about kind of the this, basically being kind of encouraged to hold it for Peter and kind of how that changed the story for you now that you're writing it?
It was fun because we Nick said, we've been talking about this for years. So you get this feeling where everyone's very at some point when you're at the retreat, and I saw the same thing happen with Civil War and with Secret Invasion, and with other projects like World War Hulk. I saw with a lot of other projects where we talk about it and we plan this stuff out so far ahead that by the time you get to actually launch the book, everyone kind of goes, "Wait a minute, we're doing this story now," you know. So with Spider-Verse, everyone was quite familiar about it. And then when I was walking everyone through Superior Spider-Man arcs, I hit Spider-Verse, and I was all happy. I was the sole voice of everyone around the room was like, "Wait a minute, you're giving this story to Otto Octavius." You know, no, you only get to do this once. You only get to have every Spider-Man in the universe teamed up once, and the feeling that everyone had around the room, but me, was this has to be a Peter Parker story. We have to do this story like after Peter comes back. So that it was pretty much the consensus. And when you have like, you know, Axel and Joe and Rick Remender and Mark Waid and all these guys saying, "No, Dan, trust us. This is a Peter Parker story." you kind of have to go, you know, this many people feel that, that's probably the way it should go. But, it means that, like, for me, one of the big changes with the story, it's kind of like, you know, it's Moriarty leading a team of Sherlocks when it's Doc Ock. Here's the flip side of the mirror. Here's Mr. Hyde with a team of Jekylls. And with Peter, it's a completely different feeling. And it takes on some level this greater meaning. And it's kind of what everyone in the room was going for, was, yeah, you know, you want not just Spider-Man, but the one true Spider-Man. The Spider-Man who's been Spider-Man since Amazing Fantasy 15 when it all started. That's the Spider-Man you want at the heart of this story. You know, the one that sets the ripples in the pond that creates all these other Spider-Men over 50 years of history. That's when it has the most resonance. They're all right. Everyone at that table was right.
Comics Beat.
As Albert said, three questions, I think, is unprecedented, and I've run out. So I'm just going to ask...
Your question can't be, can I have more questions?
I'm going to ask this one then. Will Spider Kitty be in the story?
From Spider Island. I wasn't even thinking of Spider Kitty. Now I'm writing this in. Spider Kitty's in. There you go. You did. Was that Comic Beat?
It was.
Yep, Comic Beat. You just got Spider Kitty in this.
You're welcome,
Spider
world.
Kitty.
John, word balloon.
Talking about Spider Island, Dan, and comparing that event to this one, are you taking more of an editorial position in terms of executing the story? It seemed like Spider Island, you know, the basic premise was there. Everybody got to tell their stories within the parameters of your thing. But because of the nature of this story, is there a difference in terms of your editorial involvement?
Nick is the editor.
Well, but or even just as the linchpin.
And I love him.
No offense, Lick, Nick. I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but you know what I mean. As the creator.
I think one thing, and Dan, you can jump in. I was very much in a different office and watching from the sidelines as I read Spider Island. But I even think that the master part of that story was very much an amazing, and the other stories were very much tabled as a group and something that you guys broke down after Dan, you sculpted that main story, I believe. This will be very similar. This is Dan's story. He's been dying to tell this story for so long and working toward it for so long. And so my goal as an editor in this is to service that story and try to bring things to bear. Dan is going to be involved, just like I believe he was in Spider-Verse.
With Spider-Verse, if you looked at, like, Rick's involvement with Venom, that Venom got to do some key things in his own book that you could see had an effect on Spider-Verse. But if you were reading Spider Island, you totally picked up on what Rick had done. You know, through osmosis, you would get it. But when you read the Venom issues, you went, wow, that counted. And I really want to try to make that... You know, other books that are joining in have that same feel, where you go, "Wow, these characters did something really incredible." I'm really glad I read this. There's one of the minis that I'm really excited for. It's hard to talk about any of this stuff because we don't want to give things away.
Comic Vine.
Can we expect any other non-Spider friends besides Jessica Drew in the main story? Like any Avengers, any other heroes?
If you don't have a spider on your name, get out. we've got like a zillion cast members, you know, because then let's bring in all the Avengers of all those other worlds, too. No. That would be madness. Or... I think it should be every Spider-Man ever plus Stingray. And then everyone just goes, Stingray, what are you doing here? It's fun.
Like, it just shows that we are comic book nerds and not, like, real science nerds. Like, we say, yeah, Stingray's a spider. It's just a water spider. I mean, right, everybody? Right?
Yeah.
No one will notice.
Ant-Man shows up.
I was just feeling lonely.
Yeah. Ant-Man is there. Like, I mean, they're spiders and same thing, guys. Come on.
Nerdist.
Yeah, actually, my question was this sounds very cosmic, and would Reed Richards be involved? But I guess you guys just answered that question.
Unless he's the Reed Richards of an alternate universe where he's the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What?
You don't know what's coming up in James Robinson's and Leonard Kirk's Fantastic Four. He might be a Spider-Man by issue four. Who knows?
It could happen.
Still too early to tell.
I remember when Cloak and Dagger found out they were mutants.
Yeah.
It could happen.
All right, IGN, last question.
Make it good.
Oh, man, I feel like all the questions have already been asked. Did you talk about any tie-in issues or series or anything like that?
We haven't yet, but we will as we get closer to the date. This is very much like this is such a huge story, and since we're throwing off the first part in Free Comic Book Day, we wanted to make sure everyone was just excited enough about Amazing Spider-Man and about Free Comic Book Day and make sure that everyone knew kind of like what was coming down the pike. And again, to just send it loud and clear that just because Peter Parker's coming back doesn't mean that it's business as usual. This year of Spider-Man publishing is going to be incredible and dense and packed to the gills with unbelievable changes and hurdles for Peter to get over.
Well, I think that's probably the perfect point to end today's call on. But, yeah, I think that's all the time we have for Dan's got to get back to writing this thing because November might be
far
away, but it's not that far away. Dan, I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to talk to us. You guys can get your first taste of Spider-Verse in April with Amazing Spider-Man number 1 and on Free Comic Book Day on the first Saturday in May, which is May 3rd of this year. But Spider-Verse proper.
Spider-Verse!
What Nick said, Spider-Verse will be on sale in November, kicking off an Amazing Spider-Man number 9. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate you guys coming on for the coverage. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. We've got the clues. It's your job, Columbo, to put them together and find out who done it. Spider-Verse is coming in November of 2014. Sounds like what's going on not only in Superior Spider-Man to wrap things up, Free Comic Book Day, a 5-page preview of Spider-Verse, and then, of course, Amazing Spider-Man number 1 through 8 will also drop clues as we get to Amazing Spider-Man number 9, and that's when the actual Spider-Verse event starts. So until then, this episode hopefully will provide you with the opportunity to listen for clues and fuel your speculation. Enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of Word Balloon. It was brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. That's the place to go for all your monthly pre-order needs. They have wonderful books. You can get from Dynamite, The Shadow, Midnight in Moscow, for 50% off, it's just $1.99. The wonderful story from Chris Busick and Alex Ross, Marvels. There's a new Platinum Edition with a slipcase hardcover. It's 50% off. You can get it for just $100 at dcbservice.com. How about Superman Doomed, a brand new super event? The first issue is 50% off. It's just $2.49. And as I said earlier, they're supporting the Image book, Southern Bastards, written by Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. Jason's doing the art as well, Latour. And James Herron did an exclusive variant cover for Discount Comic Book Service. And you can get that variant cover for just cover price, $3.99. So that's from your friends at DiscountComicBookService.com. DCBService.com is the URL. Go there for your monthly pre-order needs and enjoy the savings. Discount Comic Book Service. John Sutcher saying thanks again for listening to Word Balloon. Back to our usual long episodes in just a couple days. I've got so much material that I just felt like instead of doing like a 4-hour show, that Dan and the Spider Event deserved its own little powder puff piece by itself. But great interviews coming up. We got a new scene missing as well. And I think you're going to enjoy the next few word balloons. Hope you've been enjoying the ones that really, since the end of the year, I just think we've been on an incredible roll. Something's going to be jinxing me soon. It's got to, fate's like that. But no, I'm very pleased with the shows that have been happening lately. Everybody's been on their A game as far as the guests and giving us really good conversation to go over. So thank you, as always, for listening. League of Word Balloon listeners, thank you for your continued support. I truly appreciate it. And some developments are coming in terms of how you can support Word Balloon in the weeks and months ahead. And as we get closer, I'll give you more details. C2E2 is coming up in just a couple weeks. I'll be there, very low-key, but I'll be wandering around. Make sure you stop by if you see me and say hello. Let me thank you in person for listening and supporting Word Balloon as you do. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend that might also be into this. And maybe it never occurred to you. But yeah, share the love, will you? Let somebody know about how great Word Balloon is. Wordballoon.com, that's where our archive is. We're on iTunes as well, as you know. It's easy to subscribe to the show. Questions or comments about the show, reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com. I'm taking questions as well for our 9th anniversary coming up in May, and happy to answer any of questions that you might have. I think you'll enjoy that special show when we present it in May to commemorate the 9th anniversary. Until next time, I'm going to rest my voice. I'll try and be in fuller voice for the next episode. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2014.